Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast this Thursday. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. In today's teaching, Bishop Dag will detail the qualities and characteristics that are required in order for you to be helpful in the church, how far a minister can go, and how wide they can expand their work for God depends on the quality and level of help they have. Today's message will help you gain wisdom on how you can increase the amount of helpers you have around you and how you can also become a helpful person. Be blessed by today's word.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said, will not suffer thine foot to be moved. The law that keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. Of mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thine foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And know the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. My help, my help, my help, all of my help cometh from the help
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight for the privilege that we have to come into your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. And Lord, we ask that you keep us, bring us into the perfection of your will. Thank you for this opportunity that we have. We pray that you give us the grace to be helpful as you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. Tonight I'm preaching about how to be helpful in the church. How many want to be helpful in the church? Very good. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip of Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem, right? And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Amen. Tonight, we are going to have our first ecclesiastical service. Amen. So, as soon as when we close this service, we are going to divide into 3. Amen. All pastors are going to go this one, to this upstairs. What is the name of that chapel? Eats Chapel. And all shepherds, if you are a shepherd in the church, to the ups here, the Eddy Chapel. And then this one, the Adelaide Chapel. All other members of the church who are neither shepherds nor pastors. And then we are going to have a session for 20 minutes. And then after that, you can start eating kebab. Is a kebab man here? All right. You can fellowship and do whatever you want to do. All right? Are you with me? Very, very important. So, ecclesiastical service is starting today. And we are going to have it every Tuesday. All right. So, just an extra 20 minutes that you may have an accident on the way back home. You'll be here. And then you miss the accident. Amen. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Yeah. So make sure you stay for the ecclesiastical service. Very powerful. When you get there, you will see what is going to happen there. When you get there, you see something there. All right. Today being the first time, I'm going to come to each of the 3 chapels, which is last 20 minutes. And then after that, we are moving. Are you excited about that? Very good. So all pastors, it will also help us to see all the pastors who come to church on Tuesday. And it will also help us to see all the shepherds who come to church on Tuesday from the different churches. You understand? And it will also help us to see all the other members who come around. Is it powerful? Is it a good idea? Very good. Okay. Now, back to how to be helpful in the church. Amen. Now, do you know that your ministry and your life goes as far as the help you can get? You can go as far as the help you can get. Because if you want to minister in one place, right, all that you need to do is to stay in one place and minister. Now, it gets to a time where you cannot physically, let's say, counsel more than a certain number of people, even if you want to. So in order to expand or do more, you need somebody to help you. All right? Are you there? And so when you have somebody to help you, you are able to now maybe be somehow in charge of 200 people instead of just 100. And then if you want to get to 300 or 400, you need to have another person who is going to sort of take care of the extra 100 that are coming, and then the extra 100. So if you cannot get either cell leaders or shepherds or pastors or whatever to help you, you cannot go that far. All right? So everybody somehow is limited by the help that you have. Papa Hagen was saying one of the reasons why many ministers do not do well is because they want to be the jack of all trades. And he said that no, everyone is limited. I was reading it today. He said every minister is limited and cannot do many things. And so when you can accept what you can do and you accept what somebody else can do, you become really blessed. Amen. And that is what the Lord was telling Paul and Silas when he said, "Separate unto me Paul and Silas to the ministry that I have called them." And to be separate means to disconnect, you know, from some things and to be almost divided from that thing and be removed from something that you used to be a part of in order that you can fulfill your calling. So many times you find out that one person wants to do everything, but one person cannot do everything. We all need people to really help us. All right? Now, if you could have helped in the ministry by, or let's say you could have helped, that is why they also say, behind every successful man is what? A woman. A woman or a good woman? Huh? What do they say? A good wife. No, I don't know that proverb well, so that's what I'm asking. It's not a trick. Behind every successful man is a good woman or a wife. Okay. A wife is better than just a woman. And the reason for that is because a wife is supposed to help you. So usually you find out that if you have a wife who helps you, you are able to do something more than you could have done. Right? Let's say in the olden days, you know, the wife would iron the clothes, wash the clothes, sweep the house. What else? The old-fashioned cook the food. The current ones, they don't know how to do all these things. Stop pretending in the church so that we can have good church service. All right, the modern wives, the modern women, they don't do a lot of these things. So young brothers who are having delusions. Are you there? All right. So the idea was that instead of coming home to wash and iron and spend the whole of Tuesday and Wednesday ironing and washing, going to catch a chicken, kill it, do this, kill a goat, milk the cow, do all kinds of things, you spend your time doing the business and you succeed. And so that's why they say that behind the successful man is a wife
who is frying, catching the chickens, boiling the rice, harvesting the tomatoes from the backyard, bathing the children, taking them to school, and so on and so forth. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So what they are trying to say is that as soon as you have somebody helping you, you go a little further. That's it. So everybody's life and ministry is limited to the help you can acquire. So if I didn't have somebody to help me in London, because I went to start a church in London myself in 1993, in May. But I needed somebody to help me to run a church in England. Now, because I was living in Ghana, so I needed somebody to help me. So how far could I go? Well, God blessed me to have a good person who has helped me all these years over there. I wanted to start a church in Switzerland, right? And I needed somebody. And so the person who helped me in England was Pastor Richard. From the first day of the church, right, he came along and he helped. Got married. We were just 3-5 people. All right. And today we have thousands of people in the UK. From the time that we were 5 members, he was there. All right. And he has helped me. He has not turned against me. He has not disliked me after some time. You understand? So I'm blessed. So when you see me now, I look like a blessed person. I've got a church in London. It's because I've got helpers. That's why I'm blessed. So you become more blessed when you have people who help you. When you don't have people who help you, your blessings reduce greatly. You get it? I wanted to start a church in Switzerland, you know, and I had a friend in Belgium, and I called him. I said, look, I'm starting something in Switzerland. Can you come and help? You know? So he came along. That was happened to be Pastor Robert. You know, and he helped me, and he stayed in Switzerland. He was not originally living there. In fact, in order to help me, you know, in order to stay there, he went to school there. A grown-up who has finished school. In order to have a permit to stay there. One day I was sitting there and said, why don't we find a university for you to go again? Somebody who has finished university and is advanced in life. And he said, no problem. He will find a university and get a school and attend lectures. A grown up. Yeah. And you see, he did all those things. And today, we are blessed. We have churches in Switzerland, Basel, Geneva, Zurich, this, that, all over the place. Stable. I wanted somebody to help me in the Caribbean. You know? So one day I told him, look, you help me in Switzerland, go to the Caribbean. So he went. He left Switzerland and he went to the Caribbean. Stayed there, did so many things. Until today, now we have churches in the Caribbean. Trinidad, St. Lucia, Jamaica, this, that, all of those places. So all I'm trying to say is that, you know, I look as though I'm doing a lot of things, but actually I'm just being helped by a lot of good people. How many understand what I'm talking about? All right. Now, there are other areas where you can be helped. Apart from that's pastoral. There are things that people can help you to do. Like, I don't know how to write emails. In fact, I've tried it once. And when I tried it, I don't know. It said outbox, inbox, something. Sent, not sent. I was not sure because I didn't have a reply from that place. But you have people who can help you to do a lot of things. And then you look as though you are very organized. But actually, it's people who are helping. So the ministry goes as far as you can get help. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So, many of us are limited in how far we can go because we do not have a good person who can help you. So that's why I'm preaching about how you can be helpful in the church. All right. Now, Peter and James and John and so on, their ministry was so successful that new problems came up. Food problems. Because they, in their church, they were giving food to the widows. Are you there? So, some widows needed food, others were not getting, and new problems came up. Which was not a problem that was there before. So don't be worried when there are changes in the church. Like today, we are starting ecclesiastical service. You understand? Now, why do we start ecclesiastical service? Because things are changing. And if we also don't change, you see that we'll be sitting there and something will be going wrong. But because you couldn't interpret certain things, you couldn't make certain changes. So you shouldn't always say that, oh, but we never used to have people like Stephen and co. in the system. If you are against Stephen, you are against yourself. Did you hear me? I said, if you are against Stephen, you are against yourself, because Stephen is coming to help you to preach. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the way he's going to help you to preach is that he's going to take over certain things which are also good jobs to do. But if you do them, you cannot concentrate on another job which only you can do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, do not be against help. And most people know, I wanted to have a ministry in Australia. So I saw a brother in England and I said, will you go to Australia? In fact, I preached at the camp. He said, okay, I'll go to Australia. He was a lecturer. He said, okay, I'll go to Australia. Today I've got a ministry, you know, even in, as far as Australia and even in Papua New Guinea. How could I have somebody who lives in Accra? How could I have a ministry? By having a person who is helpful. You understand? So all I'm trying to say is, when you have helpers, you become like Superman. Is that how to say it? Superman. Is it Superman or Superman? Superman. Huh? Superman. Superman. I have to say the right thing so that I don't get in trouble when I go home. Superman. Okay, I know it as Superman. Is that not what you also know? Superman. Blowman. Groundnut. Okay. Superman. You look like you are a Superman. But actually, you are not a Superman. Only that you have a lot of people who are helping you that make you look super. They are intelligent weapons that have been allowed to work on your behalf. All right? So, a pastor who cannot have friends and cannot make relationships usually cannot grow. Because he cannot engage somebody who will help him. Because you need a certain kind of person to help you. Amen. So sometimes I'm sending missionaries and I say, who is going to assist you? I say, I don't know anybody. You see, you are easily to be a candidate who cannot do well. Because if you don't know anybody who can help you, who is going to give you somebody to go? Who can help you? When I send somebody to help you, you will say the person's mouth is like this. He doesn't speak. He's like this. He's not this. He's that. So you find your own person who can help you. Because me, I won't allow anybody to choose my helpers for me. And I'll not allow anybody to choose the people that I want to work with. No. And that's why even in the government, the president becomes the president. He chooses. First of all, who will be the vice president? Who will be his finance minister? Who will be this? Who will be that? Who will be that? He has to choose it himself. Because you can't superimpose people of your choice on the person. What about if he doesn't like that person? So you have to know how to develop friendships and relationships so that somebody can work with you. And all businesses, you know, first, that is one way to get people to help you. Another way to get people to help you is to set up a system where they can never do anything wrong, which is very difficult. Like in England, all the supermarket, they're videoing you, watching you, supervising you, doing this, watching, stealing, so many things to watch you so that in case you want to do something wrong, they can catch you. All right, but that is not easy because human beings, you know, we are cleverer than computers. You know, you can put a computer, but I'll just put my chewing gum on the camera. You will not see me again.
Are you there? So what I'm trying to say is that God's work would do better if we had helpful people. I have wonderful people who have helped me to build this church, to design it. Not all architects can work with you. In fact, not all artists even can work with you. When they present their artwork and you say, this one is like this, this one is like this, they will be offended. They'll be offended. Say, why? You change it too much. Every day, change it, change it, change it. Me, if you can't work, if you don't like changes, you can't work with me. Because I'm changing all the time. Today you've come ecclesiastical service. Yeah. The permanent thing around here is that things are changing. If you like travel for 2 weeks and when you come back, you see that things are changing. Things are moving. And if you look at somebody who studied MBA, she gave me characteristic of good organizations. And one of them is they are disposed to change. Changing. Things are not the same. Why do you think we don't have shops like UTC anymore? Kingsway, GNTC, Glamour. These were the shops we knew. You get it? They were the wild shops which were selling small things that we all buy. They are all disappeared. But there's another group, Malcolm, they have come and they have been able to adjust themselves to this modern way of doing things. You get it? And they are still selling the same things that those people were selling and they are in existence. So you will be sitting there and say you will not change. Before you realize, you will become UTC. Before you realize, you become Glamour. Is Glamour still in existence? It is there? Oh, okay. Uli, what do they sell? Eggs. They sell eggs. Cabbage. Forgive. So if you don't take care, you'll soon be selling cabbage and eggs. Alright? So brothers and sisters, I'm just starting my shorts because I'm preaching, you know, for the usual time, but I'm saying that you need to be helped or you need to be a helper for somebody. Somebody needs you to help the person. Okay? What do you think? So how many want to be a helping person to somebody? You don't all have to desire to be the main person, but you have to desire also to be helpful. What do you think? Because no matter how nice and good a person is, the person, everybody is limited intentionally by God. God has limited me so that I would need people. And I would depend on people. I mean, it is His plan. Because if I had my way, I wouldn't depend on anybody. I'd just depend on myself and on God. But He has made it such that I have to depend on people. It's to humble me so that I'll be humble. Amen. So that I'll be humble. Hallelujah. You look very sleepy this evening. You're all looking at me. So what are you saying? What are you actually saying? Tell the person next to you, look, it's a good message, number one. And then number two, it applies to you. Now, Peter and his team of pastors wanted some people who would be helpful. So they gave us a very important list of qualifications of people for people who are going to be helpful. He says, let us choose 7 men of honest report. The first way by which you can be helpful, or the first quality that you really need, is honesty. Honest report. That means they are reported as being honest. Okay? Yeah. Give me an honest person
and take your PhD. Yeah. Keep your PhD. Keep your MBA and give me somebody who doesn't lie, who doesn't steal, who doesn't pretend, and who is truthful. And keep your PhD. I'll do better. Amen? What do you think? Yeah. Honest. Honesty is one of the very important characteristics of someone who can be very helpful in the church. You see, if you want to help in the church, you have to be honest. Because there is a lot of trust work in the church. So if you are not honest, you really hurt us. Because I don't count offerings. I never count offerings. I never take offerings to my house. You cannot find offerings in my house. I don't have them. I don't keep offerings. I don't count offerings. I know some pastors take offerings home. And maybe they have a different system. It may not necessarily be wrong. But I'm saying that. Can you hear me at the back? Why are you all so quiet looking at me? And, if the person who is counting my offering is stealing my offering, right? Then I am a fool when I stand here with my basket and I say, 100,000 cedis. The person is waiting. The envelopes are coming. We are going to get something tonight. So, and then when the church projects are not getting finished, the people who will be sitting there will be looking at me, the bishop, saying that I'm a thief, I'm doing this, I'm not. Meanwhile, the real thief is sitting by you because he's going to count the money after church. So everything that I need to accomplish will be slowed down by having someone who is not honest counting the money. Now, if I want somebody to build the church, and I know ushers. I know one usher. I don't want to mention his name, but he was a kind of a, what do you call it? And he said, you know, he's been getting money. Or no, he was talking about his friend who had become an usher in a church, and he said, oh, now that he's an usher, he's financially okay. I said, how are you financially okay as an usher? I'm talking about being helpful in the church. The first thing is you need to be of honest report. Of honest report. An usher needs to be honest. In fact, I can take you through every single department and I'll show you that every single department needs honest men of honest report. Ashes. And he said he's now doing well financially because he is now an usher. So he's doing well financially because every Sunday he gets something. Now, those who build the church and spend money. One time there was a man who was used to working for people who worked for a church. And the people who worked for the church were not of honest report. So they came and they said to him, so, okay, for the project, we'll supply you sand and stones. And he said, it's 150,000. So you write 250,000 for a trip. And then they asked him, so if you can show us your site so that we take the balance there. Do you understand the mechanism? So that is, you take, instead of 150,000, you get the bill of 250,000. So the church's money will get finished. 1 million, which would have bought a lot of sand and stone. We will now buy only four. Okay, and you'll be sitting down. Oh God, pray. You'll be praying, Jesus, Jesus, please send angels to supply the needs. Philippians 4:19. Oh Lord, my God shall supply all my needs according. The guy who is selling the sand and stone has increased the price. And you are getting only four trips. Now, the guy who is repairing the cars and who is buying things for the church, instead of buying at 1.2 million, he comes back with a bill of 1.8. And you don't know, because if I ask you right now, how much do they sell 50 gig megabytes? Do you know 50 gig megabytes? Do you know how much they sell 50 megabytes of gig or gigs of megabytes? Do you know how much it is sold in town? You don't know because you have not bought some before. External drive, 50 gig. Do you know how much to buy it for? You don't know. Okay. If I say go and buy Azar chemical paint, oil paint, do you know how much is one? You don't know. So when they come, so it's 85,000. Okay, buy 10. Not no, it's 45. It's 45, but they told you 85 and you also bought. That's cream off the 40. And so you see building projects which never get finished. Not because the bishop of the church is a thief, but the people who are helping, they are not of honest reports. All over the place. Going to buy things, going to repair cars. They'll come with fake bills, things, invoices, over invoice. They'll go and buy petrol. You cannot trust what they are buying. They'll just buy whatever. They say, what should I write? They'll ask you, when you go and buy, say, what should I write on the receipt? And they write anything you say they should write. That's how can churches don't develop. They don't grow. Things that should be done do not happen. You get it? Yeah. People stealing, eyeing the system. What can I do? People taking away things that belong to the church. Eh? Then you have shepherds who are not honest in saying that, you know, I don't visit. You when you talk to people, you will think they will just tell you the truth. They don't pray. They don't visit. And when you are having a meeting, you would think you are searching for a snake in the Ashanti forest, which you cannot find. I mean, if I said you go to Ashanti region and find a snake, it's very large and very difficult. You will search and search and search, you will not see it. Some of the meetings that we have, because people are not truthful, you can never get to the bottom of the meeting unless you are an expert cross-examiner. To cross-examine people, you can't get to the bottom to realize that like, this person is not even a shepherd. Or that he does not come to church. Ecclesiastical service is now going to show us those who come to church and those who don't come to church. And you say, oh, I'm around. When you say, oh, I'm around. I'm around means that I come four times in a year for Tuesday service. Meanwhile, a pastor is supposed to be here on Tuesdays. They don't pay their tithes. How can you even be a shepherd or a pastor who doesn't pay tithes? And you come around. How can you even ask the congregation to pay tithes? I'm not talking about being an apostle. I'm talking about helping the apostles. Last week I was saying that you should be devoted to the apostles' teaching. This week I'm showing you how to help these apostles. And one of the ways is to be honest. They have an honest report. So you give people work to do. Say, have you done the work? I said, you will see how they'll use something if you are not clever. They'll say, we are working on it. It is good that I have been to school. It is good that I have been to school. Because sometimes someone like Archbishop Duncan Williams, I feel moved to help him. Because he has been only up to class 3. He didn't even go to class 4 or class 5 or class 6 or form 1. In fact, one day he told somebody, he was sitting by somebody in the pen, he told the person, I have no classmates. The person said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've not been to school. He said, you must be the biggest liar in the world. He said, well, I don't have any classmates. I have not been to school. I'm here by the grace of God. Moving to different places in the world by the grace of God. But such a person, if does not have proper helpers, oh! They say, we are working on it. It is good I have been to school. It is good. It is good. We are working on it. How do you work on it? How long does it take you to work on it? If you are not experienced, and somebody says, I am working on it, so I'm doing a design. How many minutes does it take you to do a design? You see, there are certain things that we have, certain things that, honest report. If you don't have people who are truthful to tell you the truth, let me be honest, I haven't worked on it at all. I just want to tell you. So, it's in the pipeline. No, that we are putting, there are certain background things that you have to arrange and sort out before you actually get into the. You see them talking, and some people, they have words. Words. But they could simply have told you, Pastor, let me be honest with you. No, I have not worked on it since the time you spoke about it. I haven't had that. My mind is not on it. Then the meeting would have just been a short one. But now you have to use cross-examination, interrogation, questioning, this, that. So if therefore this, last time when you designed this thing for me, and then it took you 3 hours, you went to the UK, but now it's 2 weeks. So I said, oh yes, you see, because of lights off, and the lights are going off these days, and so on and so on, and you are spreading lights off. But you also know when the light comes on. It is good that I have been to school. It is good that I have been to school. Sometimes, as a pastor, you don't even know whether people are being honest. You have to be led by the Spirit. And you are the big fool as a pastor because you don't have good people. Pastors who will not tell you the truth. Will not be honest and real. I said, Bishop, you see, there's one thing that has always been with me from the time that I've been very young. What is that? Bishop, this calling, the calling of ministry, into full-time ministry, it's just a matter of time. It's the timing. As the time is about processes and other things, but for sure, this is my vision. For sure, it is your vision. If you were to tell me that your vision is doing this work or doing this work, then I will pray for you so that your work will be stronger and better. But no, you will not say so. You will come and say, this is from my youthfulness. I've had this feeling of ministration. It's just time. It's just a matter of time. You don't have to say all that. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to say anything to impress anybody. And sometimes you get to a point where you say that these people, they are not real. And you just turn away from them. So this person is not a proper, straightforward, real. When you are talking to them, you don't know what you are saying. Now you have to use interpretation of signs and faces and different things to understand what is happening. Huh? The art of cross-examination. To be able to see. And the Holy Ghost. So I wish there were more honest people. Who will be honest. Stephen, man of honest report. Yeah, who can help us? And just be truthful. People say we are going to give money, and they don't give. How helpful is that? And you say, I'm come to give you, and I calculate, and you don't come. And when I do my calculation, I'm expecting you with the money. And I've told somebody that, look, I'm expecting some money. The money is going to come. And then the money doesn't come. Then I fall flat on my face. And I have to call the person and I say whatever. One time, one person said to me, why you change? You see, you are changing sometimes because of something that has also changed behind you. Something has changed behind you. You have to change in front to save yourself quickly. Why do you think we have stopped taking pledges by the end of the year? Maybe we stand and say, how many will pledge 20 million by the end of 2007 to the building project? No, no, no. We have stopped because most of the church is not full of honest reports. So we say, bring it today or by Sunday. After Sunday, we will. And we don't even bother to write names of people out of experience or even to phone you because we waste money calling you. Based on experience that the people are not of honest reports. I'm preaching a good message. Shake the person and say, the man knows you. He knows you. That you cannot escape. You cannot escape. You are in the preaching. Tell the man you are in the preaching directly. We stopped taking pledges. Bring it now or we don't think and we will not even bother. Show us the way to your house and whatever. And when we come there, you are not there. So number one, I want to find men of honest report. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, before I even move to that, I want to give a good example. The prophet Branham, he was the poorest looking and the poorest looking minister who didn't spend money at all. And yet he's the only one who was taken to court in those days for tax evasion. And until he died, he was owing. Yet he didn't have. And you know, he had somebody, Gordon Lindsay, who helped him. And when Gordon Lindsay left him, or if he sacked Gordon Lindsay, everything changed. And then he went into debt. So that's a very good example of a great person who is helped by honest people. But the people around him, they were looting. You know that most presidents are quite honest. Huh? When you look at it, you realize that it would be something bad for this president so and so to steal. But the people in the system, they are happy that you don't even know who they are and their names. And that you don't even see them on TV. Vampires. Eating and looting. Anyway. Number two is full of the Holy Ghost. Spirituality is a very important component to being helpful. Yes. If you want to be helpful in the church, it's not a matter that you know how to work on the computer. So, it is good. And what works in the world does not necessarily work in the church. Even in my hospital, the Lighthouse Mission Hospital, I want spiritual people to work there, full of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to flow because we believe in God and we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe in going to church and we believe in prayer and we believe that God can help and we want to help people. You get it? So, even in the hospital, you need spirituality. So, if you want to be helpful, you must be honest and you must be spiritual. You must be full of the Holy Ghost and be anointed. And that is why even people who apparently are doing administrative jobs and so on must also be spiritual. Because the spirituality greatly affects you. Look, your spirituality will make you humble. The more spiritual you are, the more humble you will be. And if you are not humble, you cannot work for God. Sometimes you have to be corrected. And if you are corrected, every time you are corrected, your face comes. Your gun face comes. We are sorry, guns. We guns are sorry. But every time you are corrected, your attitude comes. No one can speak to you. No one can say anything about anything anymore. In fact, we are afraid to bring up things with you. If you are not spiritual, you cannot work in a church. Because in a church, that is where we will tell you that even your attitude is now part of the thing. You may work in the bank and you may just make your face like that. But when you come to the house of God, your attitude, Bible says, be not afraid of their faces. When you are bringing the wrong face, even the wrong face is now polluting the environment. It takes spirituality to be humble. It takes spirituality to love people. You cannot eliminate people whom you do not like from the house of God. Because the same reason why you are eliminating somebody is the reason why you should be eliminated. It takes love. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. Love. Peace. You must be peaceful. You can never work in a church if you are not peaceful. Or at peace with yourself. And at peace in this life. If you are a hunter, hunting for things, you cannot work in the church. You have to be at peace. As you come here, I am at peace. You have to be at peace, and there must be peace amongst us. You cannot be quarrelsome, come to the church and scatter the whole place. People come around, and that is why, you see, if you don't have a good wife, if you don't have a wife who doesn't quarrel. You know, one day I went to a church. The church wasn't growing. You know, and then there was a senior pastor there, an apostle, and he was addressing the pastor and his wife. And he told the wife, I don't know if he told the wife, but he spoke about it. He said that the wife is so quiet to herself. She says she does not engage the congregation. She does not speak to anybody. She does not love anybody, engage the lives of the people. In fact, the word he uses, engage. You have to engage with the lives of people if you are going to help to pastor and to look after them. Not just be there like that. In your own world. God so loved the whole world. You so love only your child and your husband. There are only two people. It's too few. Yeah. It has to go further than your little scope. You have to open up. You cannot work in the church if you are not spiritual. If you are not eternity-minded and full of the Holy Ghost, you cannot accept the conditions to work in the house of God. I have mates who earn $1,000 a day, $2,000 a day, and so on and so forth. Do you think I am here because of money? I am here because it's so spiritual and so wonderful to me, for me to work for the Lord. Yeah. You have to be spiritual. Bishop Saki is spiritual. Bishop Eddie is spiritual. And their wives are spiritual. That is why we are still here. And my wife is very spiritual. Yes. But you can see when she preaches that she's spiritual. And she engages people. When people come to visit me and they meet her, they are happy that I've gone out and she's there. No, they will leave a message. Oh, we came to visit you, but you were not there. But actually, they were happy that I was not there and that my wife was there. But she will chat with you. She will befriend you. She will be nice to you. You will feel happy. You feel homely. Even in school, the school days, when my room was my office, she would engage the people. Bishop Saki was her friend, a classmate, and Mrs. Saki, and everybody. She would engage and make sundry food. She would come to my room as my student room and take my student supplies and share it to the people who have come around. It's wonderful. Is it not wonderful? Yeah. But you have said that you have made your face boom like that. I know only my husband in the church. I know only my husband in the church. And I don't know anybody else in the church. I come and I go like a ghost. Look, just tell the person next to you, the man knows all about you. He knows all about you. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, patience, That's why Stephen was chosen, because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And they could see that this man was somebody who had the Holy Ghost. He was prayerful. You can't work in the church if you are not spiritual. I'm preaching a good message. You can't be helpful if you are not spiritual. If you are not spiritual, you always think that everything is inconvenient. You always think that it's inconvenient. It's a too much time. It's a sacrifice. It's too much. We are wasting time. Because you would rather sacrifice for something else, but not for the house of God. Because you are not spiritual. Yeah.
So, you need to be spiritual. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So I even all my secretaries and administrators and all that, the more spiritual you are, the more I am attracted to you. I like spiritual people. I flow with, because my conversations are few. I will come down to something about the way after a while of Ghana has found oil, this has happened, then you see that we are left with only the word of God. Then my raps are finished. If you cannot, I cannot talk with you. And the more you go into the ministry work, then I can have conversations with you. Number three, full of wisdom. You need sense. The way you think. That is the reason why I cannot work with some people, because the way they think, the wisdom, wisdom is the way your mind works. Wisdom is how your mind processes things. You see, and everybody is compatible with people whose processor works in the same way. My processing works in a certain way. Sometimes I remember one time we were designing something. I said, let's design something. And then somebody designed something funny. And then when the person finished designing, I asked the person, how do you design this? Did you not go to university? Then he said to me, but you told me to put it there. And I realized that his mind was not working well. And from that day, I realized that it's not every architect that I can even work with. Because I never told him to put it there. Yeah. And I explained to him why I couldn't have told him to design something like that. Because you can design some. You see, and I'll tell you something. I have masons. I can mention the names of 5 architects trained in UST whose wisdom is up to a certain point. And I can mention the name of 1 mason who has not been to school. But it's a mason. Now, if I have to do a project, I'll choose that mason and leave these 4 architects behind. If I want to design something, I'll call that mason and leave those people out. Because somebody can only help you if he has a certain wisdom. His way of thinking goes along a certain line. It's amazing. I pity you if you just employ people based on their PhD. Which school did you go to? MBA, BBC, whatever. Look, let me tell you something. Education, you see, how a person is higher than what he was trained at school to do. Somebody may be trained to be this, but he's not good at that thing. It's the way the person thinks. Like me, I'm a doctor. But if somebody comes with fever, I won't send the person to the lab. Because I feel I'm wasting his time. I don't want the person to suffer. Go and do urine tests. Because causes of fever. Doctor, go. Causes of fever. Urinary tract infection, can it cause fever? Causes of fever. If somebody has fever, the person comes to me, he has fever. What could be causing?
Hallelujah. Yes, we have, you know, tract infections can cause fever.
Yes, such as
cystitis,
urinary
tract infections,
yes,
of the bladder, of the kidneys.
Okay.
Infections of the brain is one very important cause of fevers, especially in the northern
such
part
as what? What do you?
Meningitis.
Meningitis can cause fever.
Cerebrospinal meningitis.
Cerebrospinal meningitis.
Especially.
What else?
You can have lung infections,
pneumonia,
and abscesses,
abscesses,
and
pyemes.
You can have infections in the stomach,
colitis,
and sometimes also you can have abscess collections within the stomach.
Okay.
Even infections, inflammations like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
Can all
what
cause
else symptoms. Can cause fever?
Sometimes also infestations or parasitic infections.
Okay.
The
such
main one in Ghana is malaria.
Malaria.
So that will give you infections. Sometimes.
What other infections can cause fever? Come this way. Mm-hmm. Malaria and what other? Any viral, anything else? Any viral disease that can cause fever?
Any viral infection, hepatitis can cause fever.
HIV can cause fever.
It can cause fever on its own, and also there's something we call super infections.
Yes.
Yeah, superimposed infections from tuberculosis, especially, or atypical.
Any other causes of fever?
Cancers can cause fever.
Cancer can cause fever.
One major cancer which can cause fever is called a lymphoma.
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma can cause fever.
Sometimes you can also have not infections or infestations, but inflammations.
Inflammations.
So you can have sinusitis.
Sinusitis.
Can cause fever.
Okay.
You know, you can also have pharyngitis.
Pharyngitis.
Sometimes these are also either due to viruses or bacteria and other things which can cause fever.
Okay.
One very important final cause of fever that sometimes we don't know is what we call pyrexia of unknown origin.
Very good.
We don't know how it
P-U-O,
came.
P-U-O, pyrexia of unknown origin. Give the doctor a clap offering. All right. Thank you. That's the director of Lighthouse Medical Hospital. Right. Huh? Constipation. Somebody here says constipation can cause. All right. Now, for all these fevers that he has mentioned, do you know the test that you have to do? Urine test, blood test, x-rays, scans, so many things. I mean, if you have fever, I will not even, if being blood test for malaria parasites, I won't check. I won't even check for malaria parasites. My way, my wisdom, I'll treat you for malaria. Which is a medical way. I'll treat you for malaria. And if it goes, it's malaria. Yeah. If it goes, it's malaria. Yeah. Because the first diagnosis of it, and if it is not that, of course, you can see some things. If the person is breathing away, you can see that, no, this is not a malaria, some other. What do you call it? That in our endemic malaria endemic area, how should I worry you? And when you go and you do blood film for malaria parasite, if there's no malaria parasite, it does not mean you don't have malaria, because it's possible that in that small blood that they took, there were no malaria parasites there. So, and I'm sending you to Kolebu to go and do this test. You leave home at 9, you will come back at 12:30, 1 o'clock from doing that test, and then you go back for the report the next day. You are dying. But not everybody thinks that way. The right way or the procedure, bring your urine, bring your stool, bring your chest, bring this, bring everything. Come X-ray, do this, do this, do this, do so many things. That is some people's way of doing medicine. And every ministry, they say on Sunday, the church I went to preach in on Sunday, very, very big church in South Africa. And when I finished preaching the third service, everybody left the church. As we were going, that was the end. You cannot see anybody there again. In fact, before I finished preaching, where I was sitting in the preacher's lounge, they have come to clear the whole place. For in there's nobody's going. As soon as we finish there, we are going. But in Lighthouse, that is not how we think. After church is that we are now coming to do things. We've now come. Ecclesiastica is coming after church.
How many understand what I'm talking about? So you need somebody who is wisdom can work that way. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's not just say, oh, I've got a PhD, but how does your mind work? That's why every organization you go to, you have to adapt to that organization's culture and the way things are done there. Otherwise, you cannot work there. These are things that they teach in school. How many understand what I'm talking about? So some of you are in the church, you want to be helpful. You have to adapt. We know that you are so, so, and so, and so, but you have to adapt. So that your mind can work how our minds are working here. And then you can be helpful and do things in a certain way. If you don't change and you don't have the wisdom, because some people say, oh, you've just got to be wise, then you can handle the church's money. No. You want to pay me, you want to be in charge of how to pay us. Huh? You need to think in a certain way to know how should I be paid? How much should I be paid? How much should Prince be paid? What is the value of Prince or Pastor Fabian? It's not a small question. It's a big question. You need a certain way of thinking. And if your mind is that the pastors should suffer because they are sacrificing. Bishop himself told us that they are here to sacrifice and to be poor. Therefore, I shall ensure that they shall suffer. And the last quality, they said they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. You must believe in things. Oh, you cannot work in the church if you don't believe. When we say we are going for a crusade, you must believe in the crusade. If Bishop Saki is preaching, you must believe in him preaching. If I'm preaching at Healing Jesus Crusade, you must believe. If you want to help me, I don't have to look at your sleepy face and feel that I am boring you. I prefer that you don't come there than to come and sit there and sleep on me. You must believe in what I'm doing. Can't come and sit in the front and make your face yawn, do whatever. You have to have faith in what is going on. If we say we are doing this, you have to say, yes, let's do it. We can do it. We can make it. It can happen. You don't have to sit there and say, questioning, doubting. You have to flow. Yeah, you have to flow with the system. And you don't have to look at us and have a mind that, you know, we are making a mistake. It's true that we are making mistakes, but God is still with us. God is with a lot of mistake makers, including you. You are the first one who is making a mistake. But God is still with you. God is still trying to help you. Hallelujah. How many can hear me at the back there? All right. Good. So, brothers and sisters, may God make you a good helper for somebody. Amen. How many are going to be helpful in the church? Yes. Even if you are a security man at the gate, you have to have faith in the church. One watchman, he was guarding a church in a big city. And he was walking with some people. And then he began to talk about the bishop. Or is it not the bishop, the leader of the church. And he said, if armed robbers are to come here, I will show them the way. And this is a person who is working in the church, but does not believe in the church. But he's the security guard of the church. And this is not hearsay, it's the true story I'm telling you. He said, if armed robbers come, I will show him the way to so-so and so's office. You must have people who like you and who believe in you. Do you people have faith? So if you are sitting with somebody who doesn't really believe in what is going on, I think you should set the person aside and say, brother, here, we like what we have. We know we don't have everything, but at least we are happy with what we have. And it's going to work for us. Hallelujah. So may God make you a man of faith. Amen. You know something? When you don't believe in someone, nobody will ever believe in you. No one will ever like you. No one will ever trust you. No one will ever say you are good because you've never also believed in somebody. You have to have faith. Have faith in your church. Have faith in your apostles. Have faith in Peter, in John, in James. They are now starting, but have faith in believe. Believe the best. Believe the best.
I said, believe the best. Don't think about bad things. Believe the best in your apostles. You'll be surprised what God will do. Kobe, are you not surprised at what the Lord has done? Look at where we are sitting today. It's marvelous. You must have faith. And you'll be surprised when you help the person, even though the person is wobbling, making mistakes, dropping. You'll be surprised what will become of the person if you help them. So be helpful. And God will send helpers. You know that it's spiritual when you have helpers.
Yeah.
I believe that one, to me, my greatest asset in this ministry are the people that God has given to me. That's what I believe. People are jealous of me because I have Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie. They have been with me all these years and they are still my best friends. It's a blessing. I have Bishop Ayi in London. I'm blessed. People don't have such people. People have orangus and wicked people and grateful guys. People full of demons. People full of wickedness. These are their helpers. Hey, snakes and serpents and dragons are the vampires, are the helpers. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever wondered why in your business God does not send you just one person who is honest? Perhaps you have not been a good helper to somebody. So no one is ever sent to be a help to you. Even house help cannot stay in your house. House help, to be a maid in your house, nobody can stay there. Even the helpers in my house, I see it as a gift from God. Because God has given me people who have been in my house from even before my children were born, some of them, and have stayed with me all these years. I've gotten married and they are also added themselves to my children. That one too is a gift. That one too is a blessing. Yeah, I see all these things as blessings and help from God. May God give you helpers to help you in your life. May you look like a super, super, superman. In Jesus' name, amen. Why are you clapping? I have not finished preaching. When I finish preaching, then you clap. And you are blessed. Okay, then clap. Right. How many are going to participate in our ecclesiastical service? At least just to see what it's about so that next week you don't come. How many are going to participate? God is going to bless you. Father, give us helpers. Help us everywhere. And Lord, as they help, send helpers to help them too. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody. All right. Okay. Thank you for your clapping. Please don't walk out. God bless the workers out in the red shirt and the white shirt, all of you guys there. One day when you are having church service, may half of the congregation walk away. Yeah. Yeah. Lift your hands up. Pray about yourself. Are you full of, are you of honest report? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you full of wisdom? Are you full of faith? You cannot help unless you believe. When your faith just finished, your help has got finished. Father, thank you for the blessing. In the name of Jesus. Sandele baralanambo sobolinde peledige balende pelelere tebelondo shambaladara. Thank you in Jesus' name for your blessing today. We praise you, we thank you, we give you praise and honor.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be
Your name, Lord and Majesty, divine authority, hallowed be, hallowed be. Everybody lift your hand and speak to God for 1 minute. Lord, I want to be a helper. I want to be helpful in the church. Please help me, Lord. Please help me, Lord. Help me to be honest. Help me to be truthful. Help me to be full of the Holy Ghost. Help me to be wise. Help me, O God, to have faith. Hello, balondalamana shendele beke berele mene zondele beki manalamana shumba. Hello, sekete bele 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 bele. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord and Majesty, divine authority.
Hallowed be.
Hallowed be your name.
All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here tonight, you are not a born again Christian. I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. You want your sins to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand as we close the service right now. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor, help me. I don't want to go to hell. If I die today, if I die tomorrow, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Please pray with me. Pray for me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, lift up your hand high above your head so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to the front here. I'm also coming down. Just walk to me here. I'm going to pray for you right in front here. And then we are going on. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be
your name. You, God bless. Come to the front. Join.
Hallowed
be your name. Come quickly. Come quickly. 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 Quickly.
Hallowed be
your name.
Lord and Majesty, divine authority. Hallowed.
All right, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Oh God, I am a sinner, but today I come to you just as I am. Please have mercy on me. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, say, from today, I give my life, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And hallelujah.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.